Hello, fellow nerds, and welcome to another episode of the Modern Health Nerd Podcast, where every week we bring you fascinating conversations with the movers, shakers, and innovators in food, health, agriculture, and everywhere in between. I'm your host, Teresa Sam Houghton, Chief Nerd at The Modern Health Nerd. This week, I'm bringing you my interview with Nikhil Arora, co-CEO of Back to the Roots, an organic gardening company that he co-founded with his university buddy, Alejandro Velez. They started out as, believe it or not, an urban mushroom farm in Oakland, California. You'll hear more of the story during the interview. It's very interesting how they went from studying at their university to suddenly growing mushrooms, but it didn't stop there. Together, Nikhil and Alejandro have turned Back to the Roots into a company that not only produces at-home gardening kits, but also strives to reach families, particularly kids, in underprivileged areas to connect them back with the magic and the joy of growing their own food. It started with mushrooms. Today, you can grow everything from microgreens to cherry tomatoes to herbs right in your own home, and you don't have to go any farther than your local Walmart, Home Depot, Target, or Lowe's. Nikhil and I dive into the back history of Back to the Roots and also talk about some of the most important things the company is doing to bring that experience of the real roots of where food comes from back into our food system. This is a thing that really hits close to home for me. It touches my heart. I had a fantastic time talking to Nikhil, and I hope that you enjoy our conversation and get a little bit more of an insight into what's happening on the growing side of things versus maybe the food tech side of things. If you enjoy this, please give us a rating and a review on your favorite podcast platform and share it with your friends who maybe are looking to get into growing their own food. Without further ado, my interview with Nikhil Arora. Well, Nikhil, thank you for joining me on the podcast. I'm excited to finally connect with you and Back to the Roots.
Oh, it's so nice to be on this morning with you, Sam. Thanks for having us.
Could you tell us a little bit about the background of Back to the Roots, your goals, your premise, your vision, and what really inspired you to get into this space? Because this is a really exciting space, especially now with people growing more food and cooking more food at home.
It's a crazy story, to be honest with you. We had Alex, my co-founder, and I, we had no background in anything to do with food, farming, let alone mushrooms, which is how we got started. We're actually both undergrads at UC Berkeley. And this is almost 10 years ago now. It's been a 10-year journey for Back to the Roots. And, you know, I actually had an offer about 3 months before graduation to go into consulting. Alex had an offer to go into invest in banking. We're both undergrad business majors. And we were in the sustainability class, and one of our professor brought up this one random fact that mushrooms could possibly grow on recycled coffee grounds. And something about that just, you know, inspired the both of us. We both actually for almost 4 years, we're in the same classes and somehow never connected. We saw each other. We're like, oh, you were that kid in that class, but never connected, never talked to each other. And we're seeing this 200 person lecture and hear that same one sentence. And actually after class, we were the two crazy kids, I guess you could say, who thought that was kind of cool and reached out to a professor for more information. And he was like, I don't even know where I read that thing, but this other kid asked me about it too. You guys should probably link up. And that's how we met. And this whole thing started off with this hearing this one sentence in one class. And Alex and I met up. We just like, honestly, just like connected right away, both of our energies. And we were both so curious about it, started putting down, you know, finance books and going to the library and picking up mycology books. And, you know, over spring break, ended up planting like 10 pink buckets of mushrooms in Alex's fraternity kitchen, came back, one of them had grown. And somehow that was, you look back, it's kind of crazy, all the small steps, but, you know, we got some early, so we walked that one bucket around to a bunch of different restaurants and grocery stores. And most people thought we were crazy, but we met one person at the Berkeley Whole Foods, Randy DeCommon, who was like, that's so cool. And like, if you guys figure this out, I'll blow this up in Whole Foods. And at that time, we didn't even know what that meant, but it gave us some confidence and got a $5,000 grant from our chancellor about 2 weeks before graduation to kind of pursue this crazy idea of growing mushrooms on coffee grounds. And we decided, you know what, forget banking, forget consulting, full-time urban mushroom farming it is, and dove into it after we graduated. And it all started from there. But, you know, we spent our first few years just farming every morning, 5 a.m. till midnight, you know, collecting coffee grounds, planting, harvesting, demoing. And along the way, I think realized that through a lot of tours and workshops we were doing for kids in our community, classroom, people in the farmers markets, that, man, people were more excited about how we were growing these mushrooms and wanting to do it themselves and even just buying them from us. And it led us to create our first kit, which is this Grow to Home Mushroom Kit. And you fast forward now, I think what the brand has really just become is just trying to help families and kids across the country kind of experience that magic of growing themselves, no matter where, you know, what they want to grow, no matter where they live, whether it's a big backyard, an urban space on the 55th story, you know, of a high rise, and really just trying to reconnect a new generation back to their food by inspiring people to grow it themselves.
And that's the thing that excites me so much about your brand. I am somebody who grew up cooking. I am somebody who grew up with a family that did do gardening. And for a few years, when I had some time, I did community gardening as well. And I see what you're doing as essential, especially now. I've actually been harping on this a little bit in my newsletter. There's a lot of great food tech going on. There's a lot of great advances in like alternative protein and plant-based space going on. But at the same time, I feel we're running the risk of moving away from exactly what you're trying to move people back to. The more we put the tech in the food, while it can do some really great things, people are looking to tech instead of tracing it all the way back to literally the roots. So how are you making sure that this gets to people, kids in particular? I know you have that Grow One, Give One campaign. Can you tell us a little bit about that and how you're connecting food and kids and families?
It's really trying to, Sam, integrate it into all parts of our brand. It's part of our DNA in many ways. Even just if you look at our products and our packaging, we wanted to approach gardening. We kind of joke around about wanting to build like the Pixar of food and gardening, where we kind of love this challenge. We talk about it a lot in every new product that we're designing, where, you know, this should be fun and playful enough, you know, for a 5-year-old, but also like still the depth to it for a 55-year-old, you know, and have that. We love that thing. You walk into a Pixar movie, both the adult and the kid are enjoying it. And we think that's what gardening and growing food is. It's just innately, you know, magical and joyful, and seeing something grow and nothing turn into something. And it kind of brings out, you know, if it's not for a kid, it brings out the kid in you. And we love that. So I think it's first of all, just in our brand and how it's expressed just in all of our products. And then I think too, it's, you know, I think it's in how we design the products too, to make sure they're really accessible. And I think we think that, you know, we want the whole journey when you open up even our mushroom kit, for instance, it's a kind of whole discovery book, and we want to take people from not knowing anything to kind of, you know, learning and discovering along the way. So I think it's also making sure we design our products for kind of beginners in mind. Again, that's could be a kid, but it could also be so many adults like our age who just haven't experienced that and haven't grown. So we're trying to kind of guide them and take away that fear of gardening. And then it is also kind of in our distribution. You know, we want to be a brand that's accessible to every family in America. So, you know, we're now distributing our products in, you know, over 10,000 stores, from Home Depot to Walmart to Lowe's and Target nationwide, which we take, you know, that fact that anyone in almost any community now can go into their store and find a gardening product for them, but back to the roots, it kind of helps them start their journey. And then it's inspiring, I think, our community to help us bring this into classrooms. So every one of our kits comes with a whole online STEM curriculum, Sam, and it's kind of teaching kids about how to garden, different parts of gardening and plants. And then we have this Grow One, Give One campaign, which you mentioned, which for every photo that someone posts on Instagram or Facebook of what they've grown with one of our kits, we actually donate a kit to an elementary school of their choice, to a classroom of their choice. So to us, that direct connection to a teacher they know makes it so much more personal, and the teacher using it like, oh, one of my students' parents sent this to me, of course I'm gonna do it. This makes them that much more involved. So, and actually over the last year, I'll mention one last thing on that program. Obviously diversity and inclusion is very important to Alex and I. Alex is an immigrant from Colombia, first generation, but how can we do more? And we actually changed our Grow One, Give One campaign, where we want to focus it actually on underserved schools. And so when you go to that landing page now on our website, we have a whole, actually talk about the history of redlining, which is, you know, crazy how policies 40, 50 years ago directly impact today, what schools are funded, what schools are doing well. And so we're encouraging people in their community to kind of learn about that history, find schools that have been affected by that, and donate that Grow One, Give One kit to an underfunded school. So we can kind of bring these resources particularly there as well.
You see a lot of that, I think, in extremely rural and also urban communities, correct? Especially the deep urban communities where it's not, I think in terms of food deserts, because I'm in the food space, but it's also in some ways an educational desert, correct?
Absolutely, yeah. Think about the lack of resources and access. And I mean, to your point, just we've done so many demos, Sam, and workshops in schools, and it's, I think there's no other word except for saying it's just sad to see the state of our, of how we've educated our kids, where you ask many of them, where does, you know, apples or tomatoes come from when they're young kids, and they'll say the grocery store or the can of tomatoes, and not being able to connect the dots to where the tree, the farm, how it grows. And I think that's, yeah, both in educational resources and obviously food desert, both of those.
Especially since in the food deserts, a lot of the food that is accessible is processed. Although you do see that changing. We even have, in my area, in Troy, New York, we have a place called Capital Roots, and they're one of the initiatives that they have is bringing the fresh produce into like convenience stores. So you do see it changing, but you guys are part of that process, is bringing that right into the schools. I mean, you skip over the stores and you're going right to the schools. So how do you see this as improving the food landscape? What are the results that you've seen from doing this through your brand and this program?
We started off with kits, the mushroom kit I talked about, and that is expanded to a whole line of aquaponics kits and microgreens and windowsill like herb and veggie planters. And then just last year, we actually piloted with the Home Depot, our first kind of launch into the seed category, like packet seeds. And that went really well. It expanded nationwide in the Home Depot this spring, which is actually the first 100% USA sourced seed program. So all of our seeds are coming from USA farmers, which is kind of crazy, the fact that that hasn't existed yet. There's such a lack of transparency in that category, which should be something that is inherently so transparent, because it's about people growing their own food, but yet when you try to trace back where your seeds come from, it's kind of like this mystery wall. So working with incredible farmers across the United States, and that program is in stores right now. So we have kits and seeds, and as you fast forward, we're going to be thinking about other categories in garden for people to kind of grow with us. But you put that all together, I mean, we've helped just the last year, I think it was almost 3 million people started, you know, indoor gardens with our kits just last year, which to us, you know, most of those are first-time gardeners, millennials, kids. And that's just, for us, we love that impact where, you know, you think about it, it's not just like selling some widget, it's like you're selling this whole experience. And then, you know, so many people we've heard from, like, man, that was our first time growing something, I can't wait to try this next. And it's kind of putting them onto this journey of exploring food, you know. And this year now with our seed packets as well, you know, that's, you know, millions and millions of families are going to be growing with our products and starting their gardens with our products, and hopefully through their learning with our curriculums and, you know, learning about the farmers behind them. We have QR codes on our Home Depot displays, you know, meet our farmers, and just kind of connecting back to where food comes from. So to us, like, that's the ultimate impact. I think when we talk about our brand, we want Back to the Roots to be a brand that can almost be like a spark of curiosity for people. Can we light that fire, light that curiosity in a whole new generation to get curious again about food?
And that curiosity and that fun go together. And I like you have that QR code. You're merging technology with going back to growing. So the two are definitely not mutually exclusive. It's a great way to use technology to connect people. I love that.
I appreciate you saying that, because that's actually, it's such a core part, I think, our vision for how we see food is, like, we want to use technology, and we integrated pretty deeply in our brand, not to reinvent food per se, but to make it more accessible. So, you know, for instance, on our microgreen grow kits, we just started now in our mushroom kits, it's actually a really fun, like, SMS, like text message, we call it green thumb support, where when you start your kit, for instance, you add water for 3 days, and you don't want to do anything as your seeds are kind of germinating. But that's the point that we found was the biggest pain point, that people, after 3 days, you get busy, you forget then to take your lid off and start watering it. And so right on the top of the germination lid is a big call to action, like, text this number, and we'll just send you reminders along the way. So that to us is a fun way of, like, using technology the way people are used to, like, oh, you get a quick reminder on day three, hey, don't forget to take off your lid and add water again. Or the mushroom kits, very similarly, it's like, hey, did you remember to water today? It's a 10-day journey where, like, you just don't want to miss one of those days. And so trying to integrate, like, technology around transparency and technology around, like, accessibility, but then letting what you're growing stay really simple.
I feel like you're between gardening outside and some of these hyper-connected indoor gardens. I've actually had a couple of people on the podcast who are doing the either indoor vertical farming, or I had Hank Adams from Rise Gardens on the podcast, and he talked about their installation. So it sounds like you guys are bridging that gap for people who maybe can't grow outside but aren't really ready for IoT farming.
Yeah, and we have so much respect. There's a lot of brands in the space who we know well, and I think it's just a different approach. And I think there's space for everybody. For us, I think, you know, you go down that path, you see price points starting to go up, and it just changes your demographic a bit. So you're speaking to a different audience versus for us, we're like, how can we design products that can literally be in every single household across the country, every retailer, every classroom. And so it's just different folks you're targeting, but all, I mean, ultimately, the more people we get growing, no matter how that is, it's the better.
And I like that. I wanted to go back to that U.S. grown seeds thing for a minute. How does that help people who produce these seeds for you? It sounds like you're adding another angle to this. Not only are you helping kids and families and people at an affordable price point to grow things, but it sounds like you might kind of have a way to backtrace this to benefit U.S. farmers. Tell me a little about how you source those seeds.
Honestly, what do we hope for, Sam? You fast forward into the future. I hope our farmers in this country are as elevated and as celebrated as brands are in the food space, right? And we all know a bunch of different food brands, but I think, you know, we visited so many farms across the country over the years and met, you know, so many farmers we work with, and it's just incredible work that people are doing that I think most folks just don't really realize, especially organic farming. When you're, you know, like one of our farms that we're working with, you know, based on it's about 30 miles outside of Boise, they're the only organic farm in miles and miles and miles. And that is so hard because not just the stigma in the community, but then this logistics and transportation, because the only, you need an organic truck to come pick up your stuff, right? Just all the, like how much people have to believe in that to do that and do that over and over again every year, where the easy path is clearly to go conventional, use a bunch of pesticides, but to do it the right way, to us, like that needs to be celebrated, those people, and especially at this stage where it's not the norm yet. We hope that by, you know, by focusing and celebrating our farmers and sharing their stories, A, just increases demand for U.S. farming, people wanting to know where their seeds are coming from, which hopefully helps boost the market. It helps, you know, our farm, as we're sourcing from them now, we're talking about growing their acreage so they can grow with us. That's really exciting to grow organic farmland and support those farmers, and hopefully imagine if all consumers started demanding, like, yeah, we want our seeds to come from U.S. farmers. That would be so incredible for the economy here and for so many families. So we want to celebrate them. And, you know, our vision is when you walk into ultimately a garden center, like imagine a Home Depot or Lowe's or Walmart, I appreciate what Whole Foods did. You walk in and you would see photos of farmers. Hey, this farmer grew this, and I think they changed the game. But how come, you know, we haven't done that in the gardening space when you're buying a plant or you're buying a seed packet? And in some ways, like we just see the garden center and the grocery store is just extensions of the same things, all buying food, just at a different stage of it. Either you want to grow it yourself with a seed packet, do you want to buy it pre-grown, like a live basil plant, or do you want to buy it at Whole Foods? But I think the transparency we expect should be the same, whether you're buying a packet of basil seeds at a, you know, a garden center or some, you know, basil sauce at a Whole Foods. And it's all just a continuum of, you know, how involved you want to be in your process.
Our local co-op also posts the photos of the farmers. And the cool thing too is if you hang around, sometimes the farmers shop at the co-op for other things too. So I like that you see it as a line, as a continuum like that, because there is, as we already talked about, so many places where that can get broken up and there can be this gigantic gap. And I feel that you're right. The more we bridge the gap, the better off we're going to be. And especially as somebody who has several friends who are farmers, I appreciate what you're doing to bring the attention back to them. And so I just have to say a big thank you for that. It's so much needed. I agree with you.
Yeah, the more you learn about the farmers in this country, then the more you just, if I were to hear the stories, people would want to celebrate and support them more and more. So I think for us, it's just comes down to transparency. We know our brand can just share stories. I think the rest will flow.
I smell a YouTube series in the making.
Yeah, we actually have a fun video coming out with one of our farmers in about 3 weeks. I'll have to send it to you.
Oh, cool. I'll have to share it around. So I will transition to this question because it seems the next logical thing. What do you feel we need to be really focusing on as we go forward in food and farming and just the future of our food system? Where do we really need to be narrowing our focus to make things better and to continue to do some of these initiatives that you're working on at Back to the Roots?
I'll go back to kids, just to it starts from there. I mean, I not to be, or even millennials now, we're too far gone, you know, our generation, and it's how do you how do we make a change with kids right now who are 4, 5, 6, 7, you know, and impact their lives? So to me, that question about like, what do you have to do with the food system? It's got to start there. And I think we need radical, radical change right now and rethinking of this all. And the fact that, I mean, we're in the midst of this whole COVID pandemic and every day it's a headline, we think of this as a health crisis. But you think about where our country is right now from a real health crisis, where, you know, 30% of adults are obese, another 30% are overweight, and then 40% of adults are malnourished and malnutrition. Like, that's 100% of our population, plus or minus. You look at the stats, as you know, that and you think of what that means for long-term health and wellness in this country, it's staggering and incredible that that's not a headline every single day in this country. The fact that that's our wellness report card, those three numbers, you know, 60% overweight or obese and roughly 40% undernourished based on nutrients, and what that leads to in the economy and long-term health issues, it's so clear, right? The line there. So, you know, someone's going to design a food system, some foreign agent or whatever, right? It's going to design do something to our food supply that result in that of 100% almost of Americans with some food related thing. You know, you think about how we'd mobilize our country, and yet we're doing it to ourselves. So I think that's the framework that comes when I think about what's happening in our food system. It's and that's why it's so urgent and why we need just radical big change. But to me, it's not rocket science. That's the part that is, I guess, hopeful, is that to me, like, if there's one thing I could change right now, it's just like we need to institute, and I don't know what it's called, but call it like a national wellness curriculum that kids go through. But it's like, I think we've so overcomplicated health in this country because of technology, of the money behind it, where like you have to go eat that purple spotted something kale to be healthy, or you have to eat this certain thing to be healthy and strong. It's like, I mean, I go back to Michael Pollan. I think he nailed it, and we just forgot that. Like, eat food, not too much, mainly plants. Like, that's it. You know, it's like, and imagine if we had like a wellness program for kids in elementary school, part of curriculum where you learn about like how food grows, what's real food. You learn about how to read nutrition labels. You learn about the importance of sleep. Just like basic things that we've moved away from. And I'm like, we just overcomplicated it so much. And I think the answers are right there. So to me, it's like, how do we start integrating that at a systemic level into our kids' education? And, you know, we're trying to impact that with our Grow One, Give One campaign in a small way. But if there's like one thing I would change or ask President Biden to do, it's like sign an executive order and, you know, create a national wellness curriculum that all kids have to go through starting kindergarten. And by the end of it, man, imagine how powerful that'd be. The whole new generation just could read an ingredient label. That's it. If you could just do that, it would change the world. Literally, it would change the world.
As a former health coach, I would love to see kids getting more of that information too. Definitely on board with starting young, because you're right. I mean, 100%. I couldn't describe it better with everything that's going on right now. And like you said, everything's too complicated. Everything is way too complicated, which is, I'd imagine that's one of the reasons you're trying to keep it simple.
I don't know, for us, and I've gone through this journey myself, and I, you know, learning about food, and it's literally just, it's an unlocking. And once you just start seeing things differently, and you've grown something, you know what a real simple ingredient is, and you look at the back of a package, and you see things that you couldn't grow, that aren't in the seed aisle. It just makes you question things, and there's literally no going back. It's like that Matrix, red or blue pill. Like, once you take it, you can't go back. So imagine just opening up kids' eyes to, you know, to that and celebrating that as much. You know, it's crazy too when you think about, we have the world's best athletes promoting Coke, Sprite, McDonald's, and I'm like, just the whole system. I'm like, imagine if that same energy and celebrity was focused on just you know, connecting kids to real food again. And you think about food, I think what inspires Alex and I and our whole team every morning too, there's literally probably nothing more impactful than food and ag. Like, it impacts, I mean, you think about climate change, we can change all the light bulbs in the world, but until we change our food system, the chemicals, the intensive farming, like, we're not going to make a dent in that. You think about education. I mean, if kids 30%, 40% childhood obesity, it's tough to learn because you have different health problems. It's really tough. And the focus of not having a good diet and nutrition, it starts there. When you think about, obviously, all the jobs and the economy that's tied to food, you know, you think about health, you know, I think it's most long-term health issues are tied back to nutrition, heart, you know, lungs, things like that. And so, like, almost every major issue boils down to food and ag, and it makes sense. It's what sustains us. So the fact that we don't spend time thinking about it and teaching our kids about it is just kind of crazy.
I agree. We're missing the boat. It's absolutely insane. So let's get a little uplifting here. Do you have any favorite stories or any favorite customer success stories that you'd like to share that go along these lines to show the impact not only that you're having specifically, but also that this return to the real roots of food is having?
Yeah. Oh man. I would tell everyone, go to our Instagram. We get so many incredible photos of parents and kids growing their own food, and you just see the joy on people's faces. And I think that's what's as challenging as I think as important as food is, it's also the most, I use this word a lot. I can't just use a better, there's no better word than it. It's just magic. It's literally nature's magic. And it's just, and it's innately, I think, joyful and fun, and the community built it. When you grow something, you want to share it with your friends and your family, your neighbors, that brings people together. And I'm thinking about especially going through this last year with COVID, what else do we all want than to experience some of that, to grow something with friends, be able to have that community and share it with people next door. It's just there's something really innately human about growing something, cooking it, and sharing it. That just, I don't care what you're going through, it'll put a smile on your face, and you can see that in all the photos that we get. And our team, our whole, we have a weekly happiness slide of all the coolest, fun photos coming in from, all of our customers. And to us, there's no better motivation than that, because you just know that that's changing lives. It's making people have, forget even food, just seeing gardening bring folks together these days. Just that's so fun and awesome to see. So yeah, we just, we love seeing, and I think actually you think about saying we ask ourselves this question, what is back to the roots all about? Right. And you distill it down and, more and more and more, and you start off with gardening, and then, is it mushrooms and seeds and lavender or tomatoes? Is it growing food? Is it just gardening? And you kind of keep on distilling it. And I think it just back to the roots boils down to two words that we always kind of end up at, and it's joy and it's connection. It's ultimately it's brand, and I think that's what we want to build and leave as a legacy, is a brand that brings joy to people, and it connects people either to on first themselves, maybe through this process, to the land, through nature, to the earth, to each other who they're growing with, to their community, to doing it with people, but ultimately, I don't know, I think it's back to the roots, gardening. It kind of boils down to the joy and connection,
which is something that we should definitely have around food. Now, as I wrap up the podcast, I usually ask my one big one question. I think that you've already touched on it several times throughout this, so I may amend it a little bit. If you had unlimited power and unlimited resources and you could bring about one change in our food system, what would you do? Which I think you touched on, but how would you do it?
I think I'll go back to the comment earlier about formalizing wellness, not just cooking or eating or PE, which is formalized, it's wellness in general. Imagine expanding that, which includes nutrition, sleep, imagine a whole generation kind of growing up with that. And I think how we do it, it's not, and honestly use the same playbook. I think that's where the hope for me is. This isn't rocket science. I think we've used this playbook before, unfortunately, to get us to where we are today, but this exact same playbook can be used to create a whole different outcome. And I think that's just a choice we have in front of us, which I think the exciting part. It's not like we don't know what to do, what's the right thing to do. It's it's pretty clear what we could do and what we should do. And so now it's just a matter of us doing it. And the playbook is there. The exact same things we've done to create, the system and the educational system around wellness we have today, which is kind of a lack of it. It can be applied the other way. I'd love to see, one example, for instance, I'll never, that was really exciting. We had a chance here in Oakland to partner up with Aisha Curry and her and Steph Curry's Eat, Learn, Play Foundation. And love the work they're doing, because, we did a kickoff event in Oakland with Aisha and Steph, and it was all around getting kids active and learning about food. And we had thousands of kids at this park in Oakland, a bunch of different kind of brands, Steph and Aisha, and just seeing the energy and the excitement and how crazy these kids and how they're listening to every single word that Steph and Aisha said, that was powerful. And these kids are never going to forget, Aisha and Steph talking about reading labels and eating simple food and being active. Like, they're never going to forget that. And like, let's use this whole marketing. I mean, it's one thing we've gotten really good at in this food space. It's marketing. You know, we've learned how to convince people that, you know, Cheetos are actually cheesy or so. I don't know what we, you know, just like the craziest stuff. Like, turn using that whole playbook around simple foods. And I think people find it so freeing when you realize, like, man, I don't have to go find this one specific thing to be healthy, this one pill. It's like, just eat cucumbers, a superfood, broccoli's a superfood, you know, like, just eat simple ingredients. That's all superfoods right there. And you can buy that for pennies at the farmer's market. It doesn't have to be expensive. And I think it's just so freeing. It's so uplifting when you kind of, people realize that. So I don't know. I would love, that's the future that we're working towards, that inspires us back to the roots, and trying to bring that out in a new generation. That's what drives us every day. And I think if we can do a small part of that, it can change the world for the better.
Agreed. Especially as somebody who's now working in marketing after doing health coaching, it can be a culture shock. And one of the things that I want to do, same thing, I'm on board with you. I want to make sure that when we're marketing, especially food brands, we're doing it ethically and we're pointing people towards a healthier lifestyle. It's great to talk to people like you who, when I ask that question and you give an answer, I can hear that you're already doing it. And you don't necessarily need that mystical unlimited power and resources. You're already making an impact with what you're doing. It's fantastic to hear that you've been able to line up the vision of your brand with your own vision and to stick with it. And that is really, to me, that's what authenticity is in a brand. And so I really appreciate that. I think that's great. So where can people find you online and elsewhere to connect with you and see more of this in action and to try your kits?
Yeah, you can find us if you want to follow us on Instagram. We're on Back to the Roots on Instagram, on Twitter, Facebook, and also, you know, backtotheroots.com. But you can find all of our products as well in stores, you know, all around the country now, which we're really grateful for. So for the Walmart or Target or Home Depot, and you're, you know, shopping for something, go swing by the Garden Center and you can check out and pick up maybe a kit as well for the spring. And it's a fun time to be having this conversation with you, Sam, as well, but, you know, getting into spring season, it's literally pretty much wherever you're at in the country, just about you can start growing things as the weather changes. So it's just a really fun time to pick up something, try it out. And one thing we do also, we really, really take pride in, I guess, is our guarantee to grow. And we know one of the biggest things people don't grow is because they feel like they don't have a green thumb and this fear of like, I'm going to kill this plant or that. And one thing about to the roots, like we have an amazing customer support team that can help you get growing. If you have any questions or if you have issues, we'll just send you more seeds and try it again. It's literally kind of, we call it zero risk gardening. So to us, that's really important to get people who maybe haven't grown before to try it out and just take away that fear. So I don't know, I just encourage people, whether it's one little seed packet, just sprinkle it in your backyard or somewhere and just watch what happens, or get a kit and try something new. Maybe you've grown basil before, try growing mushrooms. It'll be fun. So I just encourage people to go, you know, pick up some seeds and try growing something this spring.
And make absolutely sure you take a picture and share it on Instagram so that you can get that grow one, give one going on.
There we go. That's right. Thanks for the reminder.
And as somebody who literally has a black thumb, I even killed my potted cactus once. I appreciate the fact that you do take away that fear, because I'm the one, I don't even buy houseplants. I'm like, no, it'll die. So you don't have to worry. If you get a kit, they'll help you out. So thank you again, Nikhil, for joining me and for sharing all of this and really your enthusiasm and your vision, and keep doing what you're doing. It's great stuff.
Thank you so much. And thanks for helping us reach more people with this kind of this vision too. And we love what you're doing. And yeah, excited to be in touch and keep on hopefully building a better, simpler food system that makes everyone healthy and well. So we appreciate what you're doing and thank you for having us on.
Again, big thanks to Nikhil for being on the podcast. I thoroughly enjoyed talking with him and hearing about the ethos behind Back to the Roots and hearing really the passion that he and Alejandro have for reaching people with the joy and the magic of growing food. As someone who has done gardening in the past, I can attest to the fact that there is something very special about seeing your seeds sprout, seeing your plants come up, and then taking those home and turning them into a dish that winds up on the table. I hope you got a lot out of this. And this is actually a plug. Nobody paid me to say this. If you have a chance, go and check out Back to the Roots kits at your local store. Like I said at the beginning, they're in places like Walmart, Home Depot, Target, Whole Foods, Lowe's. Get your hands on one or two, especially if you have a family, and dig into this. It's the perfect time of year to get gardening and get growing. Even if you don't have space for a garden, you have a countertop and you can grow mushrooms or microgreens or whatever you desire. And it's a great thing to do with kids to get them to really see where food comes from. So whether you have kids or you're a kid at heart, give it a try this spring. That's all for this week's episode. Thanks again for joining me on the Modern Health Nerd Podcast. If you like it, please give us a rating and review on your favorite podcast platform, share it with your friends, and until next week, stay nerdy!